Oceans, lakes, rivers, they can be beautiful but also terrifying. These are tales of more Latin American sea monsters. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. Hi everyone, this is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And this is another episode of Spooky Tales. Welcome, welcome. Today we're talking about more Latin American sea monsters because MJ was on a, what were you on, a ocean kick?
Like ocean kick, yeah. No, yeah, because I got like this thing, like I opened, like I haven't gone on YouTube in like forever, and I happened to open the app. And I was like, let's, like, you know, I'm, like, bored. Let's see what YouTube is, you know. Let's see what entertainment I can find. And then I found, that, like, I don't know if I sent you the video, but of the blue whales and their clicks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was just, like, mind blown. Because I was like, wait, they could click you to death? Like, you know, their little, like, whatever sonar thing that they do, that whales do to, like, navigate the ocean. I was like, what? And it's louder than the rocket takeoff. You know, that they do over there in Florida, it's louder. And I was just like having an entire like out of body experience over this information. And then like right there, it's like, it's always recommended like something similar to the ocean. And then I was like,
yeah, so then
it
was, you like, just keep clicking.
You just clicking and hole. Clicking. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I was also looking up on TikTok, like ocean videos and stuff. And then it was like, oh, sea monsters, this sea monster. And I was like, oh my God, I'm scared. Yes.
That is why we're doing sea monsters. And there's a lot. There's a lot, especially in South America.
Yeah. And I found, well, I'm covering a legend from Guam. And that's because, like, I find that, like, a lot of places that have been colonized by Spain have very similar stories to Latin America, for obvious reasons. But I was like, why not include, they know what it is to feel, you know, to be colonized by the Spanish, they know. So I was like, let's include them too, because it's funny how, well, I guess it's not funny because, you know, the Spanish, but it's like, oh, like your legend is almost exactly like the ones we have, you know, in Latin America. And my kids are like,
yeah, it's interesting,
like half Guamanian too. And I've been trying, because the Chamorro culture is like, it's like dying, and I find that so sad. The majority of youth do not speak the language. It's only like a lot of like the older, you know, the elders and stuff. They have no written language. It's very mixed with Spanish, so you know, a lot of it's already gone. And then you have the American imperialism, which has destroyed whatever remnants that could have been savable. So yeah, because like the United States like outlawed or something the Chamorro language for a while after World War II.
Like they do when they get to
The Chamorro people are dealing with that today. Like it's not just something, it's like ongoing to this fucking day. And you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm not Chamorro, but my kids are, and I'm doing the best I can to educate them. So I am learning with my children, and I'm doing it for them. I am trying to do it in the most respectful way possible, because again, I'm not Chamorro, but I think it's important, because that's sad. That's fucking sad. Like,
yeah,
fucking colonizers. Anyways.
right. But first, let's do our listener's story. Change of
before MJ starts like cursing everybody off.
Right. Okay, so this was sent in by Benjamin. Thank you for the story. If you have any spooky stories that you want us to read on the podcast, just send us an email at spookytales@gmail.com. We also have a little form that says contact us on our website. That's another option. DM us via any socials. You can also leave a voicemail. So yeah, any of the above. There's a lot of choices. So, hi, huge fan. Thank you. I told all my friends to go listen to the podcast. Thank you. Many years ago, this is the story now. It's not me anymore saying thank you. Many years ago, when my mom married my stepdad, there was a shadow person that would wander the house and just watch me. One time, he came up out of the ground in the garage and walked towards me with his left hand reaching for my face. Okay. I remember being paralyzed, and then he was just gone. A few years later, we moved to a newly built house, and I mentioned seeing a shadow person at the old house. My mom turned to me and said, "You saw him too?" I never actually said it was a man, and yet she knew exactly what I saw. That particular shadow man never followed us, but occasionally new ones will watch us. Usually it's when anxiety or depression is hitting us hard. My mom thinks they might be the cause, or it attracts them to us. Thanks for the podcast. Listening through it again. I'll tell more stories later. Have a good one. Thank you. And, you know, I have read that about shadow people.
Yeah, like it's either attracted to negative energy or it creates negative energy. It's not the, you know, the same with me. Like I said, like I've seen them and I don't always feel negative, but there's been twice where it's like, yo, this isn't good. And it feels like that for a week before something happens. So, I mean, it could totally be that they bring on the negative energy.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, we didn't decide beforehand. Who wants to go first? Me or you?
Do you want to go first? You usually like do.
True. I always ask, and then I'm like, I'm going first. So I have one short story from Oaxaca, and then I have one sea cryptid from South America, which I absolutely love, and I chose specifically because of its name. It's called El Cuero. Which is literally a cowhide.
Oh, that's why I'm excited for that one because I've come across that one that you're talking about, El Cuero. I was like, what the fuck? And
yeah, it's an indigenous legend from Chile, from Mapuche mythology.
Ooh.
Okay, but let me go on with the Oaxaca story first. So a young man and his friends were in the Oaxaca coast. I got this from a YouTube video that someone sent in their story to that channel. They're called Relatos de Terror. And I was listening and writing at the same time, and I didn't write like the village it happened in. So, but it's on the Oaxaca coast. That's all I wrote. Anyway, so he was on a boat with his friends having a good time. They passed by some little town and stopped there to eat. The town was so small, they didn't think there was a hotel there, but they asked the restaurant owners. And just like they thought, the restaurant owners were like, no, there's no hotel here. You have to keep moving. But then the husband was like, well, you guys can just camp out in front of the restaurant if you want. There's like a small ass restaurant. So they didn't have room for the friends to sleep inside. Like there was no extra space. But they had camping gear. So they were like, you can camp out right here. And so as they were preparing their stuff to camp, they began hearing weird noises. First, they were trying to make out if it was Spanish or not, but it didn't sound like any specific language. And then as soon as they started hearing those noises, the restaurant owners came out like super fast and they were like, leave your stuff, come inside now. And they were like, what the fuck? You know, like.
What the hell?
You just hear noises in the restaurant. Or it's like, I know we said you're camping out here, but no, come inside now. Like, that is weird.
I mean, that's like the first sign of something's fucking about to go down.
Yeah, and so they went inside, and the friends, they all noticed that the owners, they left lights on outside. Like, they brought out a candle, put it outside, and went back inside like super fast. And they looked, and like the next door houses all had lights on outside as well. So again, weird, right?
Strange.
Yeah. So, but then they were like, okay, whatever. They went to sleep. At some point in the middle of the night, one of the friends woke up and they were staring outside through the window. And the other friends did the same. They got up and looked outside, and then they saw figures. Shadowy figures walking into the ocean and disappearing. And this was the source of the voices, because as soon as they saw the figures go inside the water and disappear, the voices stopped.
What the hell?
Yeah. And then they left quickly the next day. The restaurant owner is like, you want to stay and have breakfast? They were like, nope.
You know, motherfucker, we out.
Yeah. But they were very confused by what they saw, obviously. And to this day, nobody can tell them what it was, right? But I was looking through the comments, and someone said, I grew up in this community where the story takes place. My grandmother would tell me that these figures could be seen, and they were from the pre-Hispanic era, and they had been forcibly removed from their homes. And now people leave their lights on to make sure the shadows are not taking people with them. They can't be outside when these figures come.
What the fuck? It sounds like almost like mermaids, because you know how mermaids have that song, and it's right? Me, that's what it sounds like. Like, because you know that, like, they say that like mermaids sing, and then they attract you and like hypnotize you or put you in a trance or whatever, and like their voice, it like they, I don't know, like they have like a distinct song. That's what it sounds like, except for what,
yeah,
for this reason, like for whatever reason, it's not like drawing people to them
unless they're already outside, apparently.
Oh, then.
Because this is why the people all, this is why they told them to come inside.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. To me, it sounds like mermaids. I don't know. If someone from this, that knows this particular, like, lore, like, very well, like, if they come from this place, let us know. Is it, like, mermaids, or is it, like, some kind of, like, ocean, I don't know, like, ocean human
right?
creature? I don't know.
Yeah, know. Could be That's either cool. one.
I like that one.
Yeah, the
that
person, was... this is the comment in Spanish. Yo crecí en la comunidad de la primera historia. Mi abuela me contaba que esas figuras se veían entrar al mar. Eran personas de la época prehispánica que habían sido desterradas de sus pueblos y que en su huida se llevaban a niños con ellos. Por eso es necesario tener luces para ver que no estuvieran llevándose a nadie.
Oh, that's creepy. That's just so creepy.
Yeah. Ugh.
No. It's a no. Mm,
that's a no for me.
Scratches off Oaxaca.
Off my list.
A list.
And now on to my second story. El cuero, which again means cowhide.
I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. El cuero is a sea monster found in Chile and part of Argentina, where they kind of meet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It translates into cowhide, like I said multiple times already. And it's part of the Mapuche mythology. Its home is said to be Lago Lácar, which is in between Argentina and Chile, but it's also said to be in a lot of lakes and rivers and the sea, again, in between Chile and Argentina. So it's over there. El cuero is said to be 2 to 5 feet long with an appearance like it's been stretched out. So when you first hear the description, it's like, oh, that's a stingray. But no. It has very distinct, creepy-ass characteristics that make it different than a stingray. So some people say that it has 4 eyes that sit on top of the creature. Others say it has 2 eyes that extend from it, like, you know, like an antenna almost.
Yeah.
And at the end of the antenna is the eyeball.
How they draw like little aliens sometimes.
Yeah.
Like little eyes like for the antenna. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some say it looks like that, or that the 4 eyes are like that. They're like attached to antennas. Others have said it has eyes all over its body. And then it's also said to have an extendable mouth. Like it just opens its mouth super wide. And it uses this to suck the blood from its prey.
What the hell?
On top of the creepy eyes and creepy mouth, it's also said to have sharp claws that go around its body, like the circumference of it is surrounded by claws.
Oh, I'm looking it up and I just seen it. Oh, it looks weird. It looks like a worm, like those like sea cucumbers.
Yeah, but more flat, like a cucumber tortilla.
Tortilla. Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like, because, you know, if you see, like, the crazy-ass sea cucumbers, like, that's what it, like, it, I don't know, it reminds me of that, except it looks like the pattern is that of a cow print.
Yes.
Yeah. So weird.
It preys on everything, including humans, and is said to have the ability to stay on land. So,
ew, yeah. That's gross.
It pounces out of the water and approaches its prey like a crocodile does, overpowering it and then sucking all of its blood. Although, another source I read said that it jumps out of the water onto its unsuspecting prey, which, you know, can be anything, any animal, a person bathing on the lake, a child swimming, someone on a boat, what, as long as you're by the water. And it uses its powers to hypnotize, which I was like, oh, okay, so now it has powers. And then it wraps an appendage. It doesn't have arms, but apparently it has, like,
tentacles or something?
Yeah, almost, like a tentacle sticks out. And it goes around its prey with the tentacle and drags it deep into the water where it devours the blood of its prey.
The artist renditions look fucking gnarly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, it's such a weird little thing. Like, like when you hear its name, you're like, okay. But then you, like, you see it and you hear what it does and you're like, what the hell?
It's, like, a disturbing in a way I cannot, like, it shouldn't be, like, that disturbing, but it is. Like, yeah, ugh, yeah. It looks gross.
The only way to protect yourself from El Cuero is with the help of an expert machi, which is a shaman. However, all these shamans are she's, or they could be, I don't know, gender non-conforming, I'm not sure. But it said it was a woman, so... She uses her powers to back El Cuero into a corner, and then she throws a branch from a calafate tree. I don't know what that is. It's a tree native to the area. And then El Cuero thinks that this branch is food. And so then it wraps its tentacle around the branch, and then is stabbed by spikes in the branch, and then it bleeds to death. And this is the only way you can save yourself from El Cuero. You need this
tree
machi with you, and tree, you need both. I just love that it's a woman, that it's not a man that needs to save people from El Cuero.
I mean, checks out.
Yes, children were told to stay away from lakes because of El Cuero, so this could be another one of those things that's, like, you know, used to warn children of dangers, you know, like, yeah. A lot of these legends are. There's one very common story told when people ask for sightings of El Cuero. So a woman was washing clothes by the lake. Her baby was asleep close by. And then out of nowhere, El Cuero jumps out of the water and drags the poor baby down with it. But again, this also could be another thing that's like, oh, this is what happens when you're not watching your children, woman. Like, you know.
Yeah, like cautionary tale.
Yeah, there you go. That's what the word I was looking for, a cautionary tale. But that's one of the most common sightings of El Cuero. Just an unsuspecting person. And bam, it jumps out of the water. It is possible that this cryptid is a primitive invertebrate called a nudibranch. And I will post, I just saw a video of one of these things, a nudibranch. It's all black. It looks like a slime. Almost, and yeah. It just engulfs, like, a fish or something. Like, it gets bigger and just wraps itself around it.
Oh, that would explain it.
Right, yeah.
I was looking at right now that a lot of, our nudibranch, they're flatworms. Are they the type of worm? No, they're not flatworms. They're similar to them. But yeah, that makes sense.
Right, yeah. And also, it could be some sort of freshwater octopus.
Ew. Those are crazy. Octopuses are crazy. They're like my favorite sea creature, but they're kind of scary. They're like smart, and I'm like, kind of unsettling. But that would make sense, especially if it's like some kind of like giant octopus type thing. Because, I mean, we have giant squid, giant octopus. Why not?
Right. Yeah. But yeah, that is El Cuero.
I like that one. The artist rendition's freaking out because it looks like... It looks unsettling, and it shouldn't look unsettling, but it is. Then again, anything from like the ocean kind of scares me because I don't know. It's just like, what the hell's in there? I'm scared of open ocean.
Yeah.
So I am going to start off with, I have two stories too. The Sirena from Guam and Yaku Mama from Peru. But I will start with the Sirena story from Guam first. So Guam was colonized by the Spanish in 1688. And just like I was talking about earlier, it has a lot of stories similar to Latin America because just like we were, they were influenced by the Spanish.
Yes.
So huge shout out to Six from Council for Maintenance podcast because he's Chamorro and he's been helping me like with the legends and stuff because a lot of the stories are not documented. And if they are, it's like really hard to find. I have not been able to find any books on Chamorro legends or anything like that. They don't exist. I've tried. So if you are of Chamorro origin, please put out like legends and stuff. I want to know more. Okay, so the story goes, a young woman named Sirena lived near the, oh my God, I'm going to butcher this, Agaña. It's Agaña River. Sirena loved swimming and she loved the water. One day her mother asked her to get a coconut shell so she could make coals. However, when collecting coconut shells, she couldn't help herself. She had to swim in the Agaña River. Sirena lost track of time. Her mother grew more irritated and impatient. Sirena's grandmother stopped by for a visit on their home at this time. Her mother's irritation grew into anger. Her mother knew that she was probably swimming in the river again and ignoring her chores. Sirena's mother cursed her. Since Sirena loves the water more than anything, she could become a fish. Hearing these words, Sirena's grandmother quickly said, "Leave the part of her that belongs to me as human." Sirena could feel her body transforming. Her lower half turned into the tail of a fish, and her body became covered in scales. From the waist up, she was still human. Now that she was a mermaid, she was unable to leave the water. Her mother then saw what had happened to her daughter. Regretful of what she said, her mother tried to undo the curse, but was unable to. As to not be killed or hurt by fishermen, she gave a final goodbye to her mother and left to the sea. Some people claim they see her or claim they see something that looks like a mermaid around Guam. And according to legend, she can only be caught using a fishing net made of human hair. So that is the little story from Guam, the mermaid lore. And Sirena literally translates to mermaid in Spanish. So you can see the Spanish influence in there. And for some reason, like mermaids are that thing that, well, not for some reason, because of the Spanish, that, that, like, mermaid lore is now, like, almost global, if not global. Like, that half fish, half human thing. Like, their stories. So, the second story is one from the Amazon. Yuku Mama is a great serpent that lives in the Peruvian Amazon forest. According to myth, she is the mother of all sea creatures. Oh,
before you go on, I almost picked this one. I was like this close, and then I went with El Cuero instead.
That's funny, because you know what? I would have picked El Cuero if you would have picked this one. Yuku Mama reaches the length of 30 meters or nearly 100 feet. The Yuku Mama legend is as follows. Hundreds of years ago, a fisherman from a tribe near the modern-day city of Pucallpa was canoeing down the river when he came to a lake. He could tell by the vegetation around this lake that it had not been disturbed by anyone. He became excited because this meant that the lake must be full of fish. Something began to move in the water. From the center of the lake, a head of a serpent rose above the water. The head alone was the size of the fisherman. She locked eyes with him and started moving back and forth. In a panic, the fisherman went to shore and left his boat. And started running into the forest. However, the serpent was still coming after him. He realized she was Yaku Mama, the water mother. Anyone who disturbs her waters gets the terrifying fate of being eaten by her. The fisherman prayed for salvation. And at this moment, four tapirs, which is an animal that is native to the Amazon.
Oh, okay. I was like, what is that?
it's like a, it looks like a pig, but with a long snout.
Oh, okay.
So four tapirs fell from the sky into the water, distracting Yakumama, giving the fisherman a chance to run into the forest. He escaped and told his tribe about his encounter. Yakumama had been awakened, and she can be seen in the rivers of the Amazon forest. So now that this fisherman has awakened her, she like swims all over the place in the Amazon River. Another reason. Oh. I mean, besides piranhas, now you got to worry about that.
Right.
While researching this, a lot of people think the legends may be inspired by a Titanoboa, which was a real snake. I hope to God it was like they saw like fossil remains of this creature and were like, and probably made like legends of this, because Titanoboa lived in South America millions of years ago. And
oh, okay. That was my next question.
Yeah, their remains have been found in Colombia. And Colombia is right on the like right on the top of the Amazon forest, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that these giant prehistoric snakes were all over the Amazon, including Peru. And I mean, I hope, because if they didn't see a damn like fossilized remains, then fuck that. Because right. I mean, the anacondas in like, you know, the Amazon, they're huge, they're gigantic.
Yeah. Scary. That's probably why they have so many snake legends.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like snakes, but, like, 30 meters? Fuck that. No. Because, right. I mean, even, like the anacondas right now, as long as their mouth is wide enough, they can, like, eat you. And I think there's been cases where they actually do try to eat people, so.
Ooh, F that. Yeah. F that. As if the movie Anaconda wasn't enough to fear the that takes place in the Amazon, right?
I think so. I mean, it should, because there's no other
if it doesn't it why didn't it yeah I'm pretty sure it does.
I haven't seen that movie in ages, but I remember when I was a kid I used to watch it all the time. I was like, yeah, giant snake.
Yeah, same. And then I was scared to get in my bath. I was like, oh my god, that anaconda's gonna get me. And my
mom, you know what? Okay, you know, snakes do crawl up pipe.
Well, pipes. Fuck. Well, thanks for that. Now I don't want to get in my bath.
Well, are you kidding me? They've been found in toilets, and sometimes this is like one of those fears.
Oh my god!
This is one of those fears, like this irrational
fears.
Slash, I'm like, man, I'm sitting on the toilet. Next thing you know, you're gonna get your ass bitten by this goddamn snake. That's like one of my like the most irrational fear ever, but I've heard it happens in like Florida and I think Australia. Like, you guys correct me if I'm wrong.
Of course it does in those two places.
But I know for a fact there's been documented cases where snakes slither up the plumbing and they come out into, you know, the toilet or the sink. And I'm like, and it's like this random irrational fear that I'm like, man, I'm going to be sitting on the toilet peeing. And then, boom, snake bite.
Speaking of the Yakumama, though, I got this book because it was only like $1 on Amazon. But it's called, I think it's called Water Monster South of the Border. And it just talks about sea cryptids from, you know, Mexico, Central America, and then South America.
The moment you showed me, I had to, like, I got it too. I haven't read it.
Oh, you did too? Oh, okay. So they have, like, three stories of people that say they encountered the Yakumama in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So one is from 2009, which, like...
Oh, fuck that. That's too close.
It's too recent for me, like... I know it's not that recent for some of, like, maybe if we have younger listeners, it's like, oh, wow, that was ages ago. But you know what?
I graduated high school in 2009. That's just, like, way too recent.
I was going to say, I was in high school still. Class of 2010. Anyway. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, in Moronococha, Peru, in 2009, a massive snake destroyed the home of a woman named Dolores Shuna. And so her house was built on stilts. This is how people, it's a village near the water. So that's how their houses are built, on stilts. And it sat above the water. And one evening, a large mass of vegetation destroyed her. It pushed itself into the home, destroying
it. What the hell?
And so later, they realized that, well, they saw the mass, and they were like, oh, it's just vegetation. But then they saw that there was a giant snake, 6.5 feet wide.
Uh-huh.
How long, though? Let me see. Oh, why does it only say? So it only says the...
How wide
so
it is.
Shuna says that she caught a glimpse of the snake's head because they only saw the vegetation and then they caught a glimpse of the snake. And so the snake's head, it was about 6.5 feet wide, which is fucking huge.
Yeah. Like,
she says that the eyes of the serpent were like a boat's light, like they were just glowing. And there's another description from 1930 where a man thinks he saw the Yakumama as well and also says it has glowing eyes.
That's like a basilisk almost.
Right? Yeah. Other witnesses said that the serpent had horns, so there's that.
Oh, I've heard of a horned serpent. It's like, oh my god, isn't there like a Native American story of horned serpent? Hold on, now I gotta Google this.
Could be.
Serpent. That's crazy. Yeah, horned serpent appears in the mythologies of many Native Americans. So, Yakumama has been, like, all over the place. Not just in South America, guys. Texas yeah. probably has it. Florida, for
right,
sure.
I know.
For sure.
And then there's another separate incident in 2009 from Iquitos, Peru. A man named Juan Pablo says that the Yakumama, again, left a path of destruction, which is not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Anyway, but in this incident in Iquitos, Peru, residents heard sounds similar to a tractor, but they were too frightened to look what it was. And then in the morning, they saw what was causing the noise, and it was a... I guess now it's said that it's a black boa, but at the time they thought it was Yakumama, and it left a track of 20 meters and it was 5 meters wide. Like, it just destroyed things in its path, and this is what the path that it left behind, that you could tell there was a snake there.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like snakes. I don't know how I feel about them anymore.
Yeah, right. But apart from the Yakumama, they also have more giant snake legends. So because Yakumama, you said you already said this, but it's the mother of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's also Sakamama, which is jungle mother. Mm-hmm. But and they think sometimes it's a separate snake. Sometimes it's the same snake, but it's a different phase of the Yakumama's life.
That could be it.
Yeah. They also have one thing called, and I don't know how to pronounce this. It's spelled M-I-N-H-O-C-A with a squiggly line on top of the A and an O.
Spell it again. M-I-N.
Yeah. M-I-N-H-O-C with an, uh-huh. And then an A with the squiggly line on top of it. I'll send you a screenshot so you can see.
Okay.
It's page 16 of that book.
Oh, Minowaka? Minowaka, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either.
The accents throw me off. I'm going to say Minokau.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But it's a giant, it's another creature from there, but a giant burrowing creature that means giant earthworm in Portuguese. And it was widely reported in the 1800s, but its description or physical appearance, the way it's described, is very similar to the Yakumama. It's black in color, reaches a length of 150 feet and a width of up to 15 feet. And it looks like it's covered in armor, hide, and it has horns on its head. And it's known for the same thing. Like, it burrows, like it sleeps for a long time. And then it when it wakes up, it destroys everything.
You know what this reminds me of? There's this thing called the Mongolian death worm. And it's a legend from, well, Mongolia. And and it, like, it's like, okay, you know, like, it buries itself in the ground and, like, it pops out and then, like, throws, like, acid at people. And
oh, my God. What?
And, you know, like, all these things, like, the one that you just said, like, the earthworm stuff and then the Mongolia, like, it reminds you of Tremors. now, like the movie Tremors. But yeah, there's this like, it's just weird. Like,
funny enough that you mentioned Tremors, because this book makes a connection, like that the Yakumama is so similar. Like maybe Tremors. Let me find the exact quote. Let me see. Hold on. Okay, so they wrote, the author wrote, "It is frightening to think of an underground creature large enough to mimic seismic activity. The 1990 science fiction film Tremors comes to mind."
Well, perhaps, how funny.
Yeah. Perhaps both the Minokao and the Yakumama can claim a connection to Kevin Bacon when playing the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm going to send you a picture of the Mongolian dust worm. Because it's like, and yeah, so it's supposed to exist in the Gobi Desert and stuff. Yeah, like, this is so funny because they're so connected. Okay, I sent you a Google link.
Oh, that is gross. Oh my God, why did I open it? Wow, that's terrifying.
This is a big no. So yeah, so this like worm is supposed to like start like spit out acid and like dissolve, like Alien from Alien. Maybe that's where they got the thing from. I don't know. Like Alien from like the movies, you know, when like their blood or whatever is acid, like that.
Ugh, it's gross. Yeah, horrifying. Gross. So yeah, more reasons to hate the ocean and the water and stuff, right?
Yeah, and worms. And anything buried in
the bath and the toilet. So yeah, we'll have to do another one of these, a part three.
Like sometimes too, I think there's something called like ore fish that often get confused a lot for sea monsters because they're gigantic. And here I'm gonna send you a picture, and they're real, and they're like, I mean, they look like goddamn how must I say like sea monsters. Hold on, I'm sending you a picture.
Okay.
And people encounter them in the ocean, and it's like they're gigantic. I'm going to show you a picture of a group of people like holding an oarfish, and a lot of people think like these can also be like tied to a lot of sea serpent legends and stuff. Okay, oh. Let me know when you get it.
Wow, what is this thing?
Oarfish.
Okay, where is it? Where does it live?
I might be wrong, but I think it's found all over the place. Like,
Okay.
Found in California. What the fuck? Yeah, they've been from Baja California Sur.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, we can wrap this up because I have to go pee.
All right, sounds good.
So, yeah, stay away from water.
And toilets, too. No, don't.
All water. All bodies of water.
Even the ones in your sink.
Yes. Unless you want to encounter El Cuero or the Yakumama or all these other sea cryptids. Stay a spooky, and we'll catch everyone next time.
Bye.
Bye.